This is an iHeart podcast.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun on a Wednesday. And yes, I'm here back in the chair, and I've got good news and I've got bad news for tonight's show. The good news is there is so much we are going to talk about tonight. We are going to talk about the institutions. Donald Trump's talking about the museums. We'll go from museums to writing to the freaking banks. We'll discuss crime statistics. We're going to do history. I figured I might as well, since you missed me yesterday, might as well deliver on my promise. At the start of hour two, it's history tonight. We're going to talk about the children of American billionaires being worthless, all that. Adam Schiff might be going to prison. I want to go to space and eat radioactive shrimp, and so much more coming up on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. The bad news, of course, is I have no earthly idea how I'm going to get to all these things while also including history, but we're going to find a way. Life finds a way, as I always say, although I think that's a life. That's a line from Jurassic Park. Now, I want to begin, because this is going to come back to what Donald Trump said today about the museums in the country. I want to actually begin with an email. An article, and then we'll get to what Donald Trump said about the museum. So here, this one was, "Hey, Jesse, in your show you discussed the NFL and communists taking over entertainment. It goes way deeper than the NFL and what's on TV that we enjoy. My 17-year-old has been trying to get her first novel published. I would say 99% of literary agents who are the gatekeepers of traditional publishing are seeking only writers from, quote, marginalized, underrepresented members of the LGBTQIA and BIPOC communities. People wonder why there's a big fight about books and libraries, so on and so forth, but you get the idea here." So I'm going to read something about that writer thing. I know this is not probably something, unless it's personal to you, you care about, so you just have to stay with me. I'm going somewhere. This was from Compact Magazine. This is a while ago, but they were reporting on something. I'll read the entire quote. "Over the course of the 2010s, the literary pipeline for white men was effectively shut down. Between 2001 in 2011, six white men won the New York Public Library's Young Lions Prize for debut fiction. Since 2020, not a single white man has even been nominated. There have been 25 total nominations. The past decade has seen 70 finalists for the Center for Fiction's first novel prize, with, again, not a single straight white American millennial man. Of the 14 millennial finalists for the National Book Award during the same time period, exactly zero are white men. The Wallace Stegner Fellowship at Stanford, a launching pad for young writers, currently has zero white male fiction and poetry fellows of the 25 fiction fellows since 2020. Perhaps most astonishingly, not a single white American man born after 1984 has published a work of literary fiction in the New Yorker since not a single white man born after 1984. At least 24, probably closer to 30, have been published." Okay. Now I'm going to talk about what Donald Trump said today. We'll talk a little bit about Obama, and then we'll talk about the why and the how. You remember, it came out last week that the Trump administration, in anticipation of our 250th birthday next year, that they were going to conduct a review, I believe is how they put it, of the Smithsonian. Now, here's what he said. "The museums throughout Washington, but all over the country, are essentially the last remaining segment of woke." He's insane if he thinks it's the last remaining segment, but you get what I'm talking about. The Smithsonian is out of control, where everything discussed is how horrible our country is, how bad slavery was, and how unaccompanied the downtrodden have been. Nothing about success, nothing about brightness, nothing about the future. We're not going to allow this to happen. I've instructed my attorneys to go through the museum, so on and so forth. You get the idea. Now, let's discuss something. What if, my boys are older now, 14 and 16, but I've told you before that I used to lie to them when they were little and tell them I was the Incredible Hulk. Just a stupid little fun lie, right? And as they got older, they started to question it. But let's say they're not 14 and 16. Let's say they're 3 and 5. And I'm telling my boys that I'm the Incredible Hulk. If I get really mad, I'll get big and green and strong and start smashing houses and throwing cars and things like that. Okay. But I understand that my lie is going to eventually be exposed by the different parts of their lives. For instance, they go to school. That would be, you know, well, preschool, kindergarten. They're going to go to school. So instead of stopping my lie, instead of telling the truth, instead I run down to the school. And I tell them, hey, it's really important that you tell my kids when they ask, I'm the Incredible Hulk. And if the teachers or the principals refuse, then I get them fired and find a principal who will tell my kids I'm the Incredible Hulk. But wait, they also, they do sports. Well, they swim, they run. I go to the sports team. Coach, it's important you tell my kids that I'm the Incredible Hulk. If you don't, I'll have you fired and find someone who will. They go to church. I go to Sunday school, their children's church area. Hey, while you're not teaching them about Jesus, it's important you tell my kids I'm the Incredible Hulk. You see, when I'm telling the lie to my children, the disgusting, despicable lie that I'm the Incredible Hulk, I understand that my lie is going to slam into the brick wall that is the truth, and that brick wall comes in the form of the other institutions that educate and nurture my children. Institutions like schools, like sports, like church. And so if I want my lie to continue, if I want that lie to become embedded in them, then I have no other choice but to seize control of the other institutions they may encounter, and then they can never find the truth because I have conquered everything in their world and turned that world into a world of make-believe. That long analogy is exactly what American communists have done with every single part of our society, and they did it for the exact same reason I just laid out for my children. If it is your goal to poison the minds of Americans, especially American young people, if your goal is to poison them against their country, remember, that's the ultimate goal. You don't have to raise somebody to be a communist foot soldier when they're young. All you have to do is teach them how to hate America, and they'll naturally find their way to the Democrat Party. They just will. That's the anti-American party. That's the party trying to burn it down. If I teach James and Luke that America sucks, this place sucks, this place is evil, this place is genocide, colonialism, slavery, white supremacy, if I just beat that into the heads of my children every single day, I never have to mention the word Democrat or Republican. I never have to talk about politics at all. If I can just teach you to hate this place, teach you to be a malcontent, you'll find your way to Democrat Party headquarters eventually. It's just, look, if you're a parent and maybe your goal is to have your child be in sports of some kind, which I would encourage you to do, it's good for them. Start working out with them, making them work out when they're younger. Create an in-shape child. You don't have to make them go out for football. Create a child who's in shape, finds enjoyment in exercise. I promise your child's going to find their way to the sports team. They will. They will. The exact same thing works with Democrats. And in order to create a nation full of America-hating malcontents, it wasn't enough just to tell people lies. You had to go seize the museums. You had to seize the literary publications. You had to seize all of it in order to constantly construct that world of make-believe. We'll continue on this in just a moment. Before we continue on this, speaking of the corporate world, remember that article that came out where they bragged about the fact we're not hiring any more white men here, bragged about it. The corporate world did. It's not that the corporate world was engaged in the culture war. They are engaged. They may be adjusting titles, adjusting strategies, but they're involved. And you are still paying for it if you give them your business. If you give Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile your business, then as hard as you may be fighting against the communists and the culture war, you're also funding them. You're sending money to the enemy camp while getting ready to fight them. Starve them of your money and switch to Pure Talk. You don't need Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile. Pure Talk's on the same network. Pure Talk will give you a brand new phone if you want one, or keep your phone. Keep your phone number, or get a new one if you're hiding from your ex-wife. Go and switch. You can switch during the break, and you'll save money. Dial #250 and say Jesse Kelly. #250, say Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful Wednesday. A hump day with history coming up 45 minutes from now. It's going to be dark and dank and scary, maybe even a little bit gross. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. We're going to have so much fun tonight. We're talking about right now the various institutions, because there have been many of them, and why they continue to conquer them, and they still have them to this day. Look, we were discussing publishing companies. That's one of them. Museums. Donald Trump is rampaging, rightfully so, against museums like the Smithsonian. Glenn Beck actually talked about this. I remember, I think it was last year I saw him. He had gone to one of the Smithsonians, and it was all anti-American filth. You do anything, it's anti-American filth. America sucks. America's evil. America, why is it that way? Because you care about it. Because it's important for a country to raise and nurture patriotic citizens. The communists realized that. And so they conquered these institutions. And now, if you go to Monticello, you know, Thomas Jefferson's place, if you go to Monticello, in fact, I can't even believe I'm going to say this, and I'm almost saddened to say this. Do not go until it changes. You would be mortified by Monticello. Thomas Jefferson, author of the Declaration of Independence, founding father, instrumental in establishing our free country that we know today, who risked his life on that behalf, and I should note, fairly important person when it comes to the presidency of the United States of America. The entire place is about slaves and slavery. The entire place. How did that happen? Well, they can't have American students. They can't have them showing up at this wonderful historic site and learning about this great man who helped create this wonderful country we now luxuriate in. That won't work. If we do that, then people will leave there more patriotic than they were when they got there. And that's the exact opposite of what we're going for. So conquer it. Tell people he was a slave owner and nothing else. And bye-bye. Thank you for paying your $50 a ticket. Bank executives admit the Obama administration and Biden pressured them to target conservatives. It was called Operation Choke Point. I won't bore you with the terrible details of it. But again, if you're a communist in the Obama administration and the Biden administration, you are trying to find a way to smash your enemies. You have the institutions of the government under your control. You go to banks and you say, hey, I'm in charge of regulating your bank. I don't want any more money flowing to these gun companies. Just a suggestion for you. Seize an institution. Use the power of the institution for your communist revolution. I mean, honestly, we've been talking a bunch about crime. Trump is out there talking about this.
This dire public safety crisis stems directly from the abject failures of the city's local leadership. The radical left city council adopted no cash bail. By the way, every place in the country where you have no cash bail is a disaster. That's what started the problem in New York, and they don't change it.
But Democrats are on TV saying things like this.
Well, first, let's just look at the actual numbers. In Washington, D.C. and all across the country, crime was going up during Donald Trump's first term. And when Joe Biden became president, crime started to come down. In fact, it's...
That's Senator Chris Murphy. How can you say that with a straight face? Remember David Muir during the Dome-Trump debate? Remember when Trump brought up violent crime and the, quote, moderator jumped in and said this?
Crime is down all over the world except here. Crime here is up and through the roof. Despite their fraudulent statements that they made, crime in this country is through the roof. And we have a new form of crime. It's called migrant crime. And it's happening at levels that nobody thought possible.
President Trump, as you know, the FBI says overall violent crime is actually coming down in this country. But Vice
Excuse
President
me,
Harris-
the FBI lied. How? Why? Obama took over the FBI and filled it up with communists for 8 years. None of them were removed during Donald Trump's first term because he didn't know what he was doing yet. Then Joe Biden stepped in, did the same thing for 4 more years. Now we have a Federal Bureau of Investigation that is evil and anti-American, working with the large police agencies like the NYPD, whose leadership are evil and anti-American. They collude to lie to you that violent crime is going down. New York doesn't even report its numbers. We now know, well, this is from the Free Beacon, danger to public safety. DC police misclassified deaths as accidental to drive down murder numbers, a homicide cop alleges in a lawsuit. You could be murdered, and they'll say it wasn't murder and report those numbers to leadership in the FBI. So the communists can continue to create the world of make-believe in which you live. That's how and why they do what they do. That's why they took over the literary places. That's why they took over the museums. Monticello. You visit any ancient historic site, go look at some Civil War sites in this country. It's all slavery. The entire thing. The battles and the men and it's all... America sucks. And this is what happens when we step out and the communists fill the vacuum. We must have the mindset that we are still the counter-revolution because we are. We have the White House. We do not have our institutions. We must take them back. You must get some gold in your retirement or silver. This is it. It's crazy to me that anybody hasn't called Goldco yet, honestly. It's insane to me. It would be the equivalent of taking your retirement, you worked so hard for that money, in an unzipped duffel bag and throwing it on the sidewalk out in front of your house. You have no idea what's coming for the market, and neither do I, by the way. Tomorrow might be up, might be down. I don't know, but what I do know is this. I know this. Gold, silver will always have value. Long after I'm dead and gone, long after America is dead and gone, precious metals will have value. They always have. You know what you can trust? History. You can always trust history. Call Gold Co. and let them take care of you the way they took care of me and mine. 855-817-GOLD or jessielikesgold.com. All right? At least get a copy of their free gold and silver kit. 855-817-GOLD. One more word on these institutions. Next.
Jesse Kelly returns. Next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful, fantastic Wednesday. Don't forget, history's coming up a half hour from now. You history fans will be thrilled. Everyone else, change the channel. Right now, we're going to finish up our talk on seizing the institutions. Then I have to move on to many other things because we are just too pressed for time and there's too much wonderful stuff to get to during this show. One more word on seizing the institutions. I brought up corporate America going into the break. I noticed, sadly, that Cracker Barrel, now I noticed this a while ago, Cracker Barrel, I walked in, I think it was during June, not last June, I think it was the June before, whatever, year or two or years ago, I walked into Cracker Barrel, as an American does, and there was gay crap all over the place. You know how they have that store usually? And they're just selling little cookies and knickknacks and things like that. It was a bunch of rainbow crap. Of course, we left. I've never been back. Disappointed, of course. Cracker Barrel rolls out a new logo today. You know, that Cracker Barrel logo is the dude, the old white dude in overalls sitting next to a barrel. And then there's a sign that says Cracker Barrel. Well, they dropped the cracker and they dropped the barrel. They dropped the old dude and the barrel, and now it just says Cracker Barrel. Well, their new CEO went on, I think it was Good Morning America today, and tried to brag about
it. Honestly, the feedback's been overwhelmingly positive that people like what we're doing.
I know you're going to find this shock. She's a liberal white woman with gigantic glasses.
Honestly, the feedback's been overwhelmingly positive that people like what we're doing. I'll give you another soundbite.
It has not been. Everyone will hate it about it. Chris, go ahead and write this one down. It won't be long, and we will hear about Cracker Barrel sales declining, Cracker Barrel trying to figure out what went wrong. Just go ahead and write that one down. All right, Chris. Here's something from Cracker Barrel. The Cracker Barrel LGBTQ+ Alliance. This is what happens when you can't keep communists out of your corporate office. Supporting home office and field employees to bring their whole selves to work while strengthening Cracker Barrel's relationship to the LGBTQ+ community. You business owners, managers, large and small, if you want to see your company destroyed, you will neglect looking at the politics of your new hires. You continue to go snatch these people up from these top universities thinking you're getting top talent. Well, let me tell all of you businesses something, and this is a fact. Scrolling through their social media posts is way more important than scrolling through their college transcripts. Did you know that? That one post about how much they love trannies 3 years ago, immediately disqualifying. Otherwise, you're going to bring that little virus into your company. The virus will spread as they hire more and more who think like them, and you will go the way of Bud Light. You'll go the way of Jaguar. You'll go the way Cracker Barrel did. You'll wake up one day. Target CEO just resigned. Target CEO resigned, declining sales. You'll wake up one day and you'll look at the shell that used to be the wonderful company you built, and you will wonder what happened. What happened was you didn't keep these filthy communists out of it. That's what happened. Mind the imports. That's not just a lesson in immigration for countries. That's a lesson for every company, every business owner, every manager listening to me. You're looking for more than just talent. In this day and age, you better learn to have open eyes when looking for communist recruits. If you don't, you get what you get. Don't throw a fit. Bye-bye, Cracker Barrel. Let's do some emails because, look, there's a lot I have to get to before history, after history. And just going to go ahead and spoil it. I'm sure you already know because I've talked about it on the show. It's going to be a Civil War history we're doing a half hour from now on Andersonville. It was a Confederate prison camp. And so I got this one. The subject is World War II history of the bridge over the River Kwai. A lot of people will remember the movie. At least you've heard of the movie if you haven't seen the movie. Dear Jesse, I would like to respectfully request that you consider doing a history segment on the bridge over the River Kwai. My grandfather, how wild is this? My grandfather served in the British Army as part of the artillery and was later captured by the Japanese. He spent over 3 years as a prisoner of war, repeatedly forced to rebuild the bridge after Allied bombings. The stories he shared were both horrific and tragic, yet they also reflected extraordinary resilience and courage in the face of unimaginable hardship. Sadly, about 10 years ago, he took his own life following the sudden loss of his son, my father, as the combined weight of grief and his wartime memories became too much to bear. I know your focus is primarily on American history, but if you could share even a brief mention of this chapter of history, it would mean a great deal to me and my family. He says his name is Brandon. So here's my thing. I don't know that I've ever felt so touched to do a history thing on something as I feel just from that email. And this is a subject I know a bit about and I'm passionate about. But today, I mean, we're not going to talk really battles or war or conquests or things like that. Today, it's going to be about terrible prison conditions and things like that. And I don't want the next one to be that too. So I'll tell you this, Chris, Corey, remind me of this. I don't know what history subject I'm going to do next after today, but the one after that, in honor of this guy, of his grandfather, I am going to do The Bridge Over the River Kwai. I will do the true story of that. The movie, believe me, missed quite a bit. They did the best they could do. I'm not insulting the movie at all. It's a very good movie. What's that, Chris? Oh, it's excellent. It's an excellent movie. It's an excellent movie, and it does hit a lot of it. But, I mean, there are things the movie can't do. They really just can't do for Hollywood purposes for the sake that kids are going to watch. That, like, for instance, in the movie, all these POWs, they're wearing loincloths and things like that. They're wearing not much, but it essentially looks like homemade underwear. And don't get me wrong, that happened. What a lot of people don't realize is lots of times these guys were just naked. You had to work naked. There was nothing to cover yourself with. I mean, think about how horrible that is in the jungle with mosquitoes and dirt and the filth. It was just like, obviously you can't display that in the movie. It's a movie and it's an older movie, but it's a very moving story. What the British went through in World War II in, you know, India, in these places is powerful. It's really, really powerful. And it's something, obviously, Americans are going to focus more on American history and British people are going to focus more on British history. And there's not a thing in the world wrong with that. I'm not complaining at all. But the Brits really did, man, they went through hell. A lot of it. I'll give you a little book if you would like. Here's a little book recommendation before we get back, talk about some politics and things. If you would like a little primer on that Japanese POW thing, what it was like, I have a book. Not my book. It's called The Forgotten Highlander. The Forgotten Highlander. It is a book about, I believe it was, what's that, Chris? Oh, I have to say it one more time. You're right, so we won't get emails asking me the name of the book. One more time, the name of the book is The Forgotten Highlander. Chris, I have that right? Look up that book. I want to make sure I'm giving out the right name since I just gave it out three times. About a guy, I believe he was Scottish, if I remember right, but same type of thing, taken prisoner, and you get from that book. Yeah, I'm right about that. Yeah, I'm right. That's the name of the book. You get the full gamut, being taken prisoner, the prisoner of war camps, various ones, what it was like to work in the camps, the hell ships, that you get it all. Highly recommend it. Good book on tape for people like Chris who can't read, for everyone else who actually cares about reading, The Forgotten Highlander. There you go. Let's get back and talk about looting the treasury. Lee Zeldin came out and said something today. Gonna fill you up with rage. But then we'll check out of that rage and we'll go do some history. Now let me help you break free of that dirtball employee in your office. The one who gossips all the time, shows up late, constantly bringing you problems instead of bringing you solutions, but you don't think you can let them go because you're worried about replacing them. But ZipRecruiter is here to make that easy. and fast. That's probably the best part about ZipRecruiter is how fast it is. Think about how crazy this number is. 4 out of 5 employers who post that job listing on ZipRecruiter, 4 out of 5 find somebody good in the first day. Because ZipRecruiter, they'll match you with the people you want. You don't have to get the shortlist. ZipRecruiter creates the shortlist for you. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. It's your path to freedom. ZipRecruiter.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a fantastic, fantastic Wednesday. Remember, you can email the show, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. There continue to be wonderful things happening in the country right now, and we should celebrate those things, especially because we're getting ready to do a dark history in about 10 minutes from now, where we'll take apart some things when it comes to Andersonville. I wanted to point out that Lee Zeldin at the EPA, obviously the EPA is not exactly going to be an organization that's ever celebrated by you or by me. It's a terrible, terrible government agency that should be eliminated immediately. But all that aside, Lee Zeldin has been outstanding. Lee Zeldin has not gotten there and done what they usually do, just kind of tread water, enjoy a nice day at the office. Lee Zeldin has showed up and has chosen to dig in to the corruption, specifically the looting of the Treasury-type corruption. And the governments are naturally corrupt anyway. Let's talk about this really quick. Governments are naturally corrupt because of access. It really comes down to access. Access is a very dangerous thing. Have you ever talked to, or maybe you yourself have, someone who owned a bar? How many of those people ended up struggling with alcohol? A lot. It's a lot. Now, obviously, many people struggle with alcohol. Maybe you do, but you have any idea how much free booze comes across your desk when you own a bar? Hey, have an extra case of this, extra case of that. Very easy. If you're a dude and you hang out at a strip club, the chances you're going to do something not great, pretty strong. Access. And money is the exact same way. If I'm not going to use Chris because everyone knows how that would go. If producer Corey, let's say we took in a lot of cash here at the Jesse Kelly Show, which of course we don't, nobody has any cash here, but if we took in a lot of cash at the Jesse Kelly Show, and it was his job to take a big sack of cash every single day and drive it across town to the bank, I'm not saying he would do anything. I don't think he would, but what if he just grabs a handful, right? I've been wanting a new gun. That's something Corey would buy. I want a new gun. I've been wanting some NVGs. Want to get the wife a necklace. They have this big sack of money every day. What's 100? Who's going to miss it? It's just a matter of access. Governments, people in government, they always get in trouble because they have access to the Treasury. Think about the Treasury like a big bank vault. Whether you're a city councilman, a governor, president, senator, you have access to a bank vault full of taxpayer money. You need strict laws and oversight in place to make sure you don't get too greedy and stick your fingers in it. But what if you're a communist? What if you manage to put enough people in place in the oversight places to where now you can stick your fingers in the bank vault and your chances of going to jail are very slim? That, again, comes back to what Barack Obama did to our government. 8 years of being very purposeful, to his credit, he's a worthy enemy, being very purposeful and filling up every part of our government with evil communists. Then Joe Biden gets in, and what the communists did with his 4 years, because it wasn't Joe, obviously, but we'll just use him as a placeholder. What they did was they got to drive on the road Barack Obama paved. Barack Obama spent 8 years taking a dirt road and paved it. Brand new blacktop, brand new lines, brand new everything. By the time his 8 years was done, we had a brand new road. Donald Trump didn't know what he was doing for his 4 years when it came to the swamp. didn't tear up any of that blacktop. All the corruption was still in place. Joe Biden gets installed. Now we got some shiny new blacktop. Let's see how fast we can go on it. It was the communists opening up the new car and seeing what she could do. Things like this.
When Democrats had one party rule in Washington, D.C., they passed this bill called the Inflation Reduction Act that had tens of billions of dollars to go out through EPA. Well, EPA didn't know how to spend tens of billions of dollars. So they decided to park $20 billion at an outside bank and to have that bank send the money through eight pass-through entities. All these NGOs, pass-through entities that were riddled with self-dealing and conflicts of interest, former Obama and Biden officials, Democratic donors.
Let's just walk through this corruption. I know it's pretty obvious. They stole $20 billion. Well, a lot more than that. They stole billions of dollars of your money, passing a bill that was called the Inflation Reduction Act that had nothing to do with inflation. It was just a way to loot you, the Treasury. So they stuck their hands in the vault and got billions of dollars. They had to figure out a way to hand that to each other. So they took a bunch of it and took it to a bank, dropped it in a bank. Then eight pass-through agencies. You know how this works? $5 billion goes to the Chris's NGO. Then Chris's NGO. Of course, my cousin happens to work at Chris's NGO, making a generous $400,000 a year. My cousin, my son, but Chris's NGO doesn't keep all $5 billion. It keeps $2 billion for operating costs and then sends $3 billion on to Corey's NGO. We're up. Look at that. I have another cousin who works there. Chris's wife works there. Oh, would you look at that? But then they take it. That's how the communists have operated with our government. And the crimes that were committed during the Joe Biden presidency with your money, the crimes of theft, should be prosecuted to the fullest extent. Now, they won't be, don't get me wrong. And the problem is, so much of this stuff, and this is going to make you crazy, is legal. It's a grant. You know, they love those. Grant, whenever you see government grant at any level, they got a grant. They got a grant. It's a grant. Immediately, your antennas should be going ape. You should immediately suspect corruption whenever you see government grant, because government grants are oftentimes legalized government bribery. I've had enough politics for a little bit. I don't know how long it'll take me. It won't be a multi-part show. I'm going to get it all done tonight, because it may only take me an hour, maybe even less. I don't know, but we're going to do the history of Andersonville. Before we do history, you don't have to wait every few weeks or a month to get your history dose. And you don't have to go download the latest commie history podcast where some America-hating animal will teach you about how bad America sucks. Why don't you go learn history from Hillsdale College for free? You know how this podcast is free? Well, the podcast of the show is free. Hillsdale College has more than 40 online courses free. Do you think that would be something wonderful, enjoyable, and beneficial to do as a family when you're scrolling through Netflix? Maybe turn that off. Or when you're on a road trip? Maybe. Everybody put their phones down? Hook the Bluetooth up to a Hillsdale College course. Learn about the history of Rome. Learn about the Constitution, the Federalist Papers, at no cost. How many things out there are no cost and beneficial? Hillsdale.edu/Jesse is where you go to enroll. Hillsdale.edu/Jesse. It's time to go to one of the darkest places in American history. Next.
This is an iHeart podcast.